Live from Los Angeles, this is the Bachelor Masters with the three hosts, us three hosts, you and me and Chris when he's here, have, I think, all held the power of banning conversation. Now, I think in our history, I'm the only one that's ever actually banned anything. I think I've done it twice. Does that sound right?
I banned Rick and Morty, and you still talk about it.
The reason I bring it up is in the essence of the Bachelor Masters trying to get into some deep conversation about the race, class, gender implications of what we see on these series. I think there's so much here to talk about, despite this being basically a one-hour episode. That said, I think the least interesting aspect of all of this is the guys. And so I'm worried that we'll get caught in that trap talking about Tyler, Garrett, Jed, Dustin, Peter.
When you say it like that,
yeah, you can sense boring. The excitement in my voice. So I think if it starts going too far down that track, it's banned. That bridge when we get to it.
There's nuances here. We've always referred to the guys as I've referred to them in my head as the jock mob.
That's a hot take.
Yeah. But, you know, they're slowly falling to looking bad. It took them a while. Everyone was in love with all of them. And now, you know, they're dropping off like flies.
Yeah. Well, you said last week, you said week five is great. All week fives are great because that's when people start to get to know each other physically, but there's still no deep emotional stakes so people can get cut. But what's your take on week six? And does this fit into the pantheon of week sixes?
Right. So truly invested. So this is what we're seeing now is that truly invested leads, right? Bachelors or bachelorettes take the high of week five and apply it to week six and feel what I thought was her feeling very empty and wanting to connect deeply. And she can't.
Right.
She's seeing her leads become emotionally unavailable. And I think a lot of leads go through this mid-season crisis of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Some men do. I think Colton did, but Ari didn't, you know. And
and look where he is now, happily married with kids.
I think it's a lot of the times it's a man thing. They just kind of check out until they completely check in. Mm-hmm. And he did that, right? He picked Becca.
Yeah, he checked back in on the wrong aisle.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, these empty feelings that Hannah might be feeling persist because their superficial relationships continue for so long that she wants to kind of get to the real meat of it. And I think that's why she had that a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a breakdown, but she cried in front of them and she...
Yeah.
Now she's officially worried about being the bachelorette not working out for her, which is...
Right.
That's something you only hear from people that are cut night one or week two, not the lead.
Well, it's got to go through her head too. The what if I pick the wrong person? That's got to go through her or their head. I mean, it's not just ending up with somebody. It's also ending up with somebody who's not going to lead to a complete and utter meltdown on Good Morning America the next day. And she gets the sense that that's what's going on with Luke P here. Okay, well, we both have a lot to say, but they also had some things to say. I wrote down some quotes that had me thinking all since the episode. And you have a couple drops that are derived from those quotes. So should we make this a front-loaded quote episode?
I have my one quote. I'm ready when you are.
Before we play the drop, I haven't heard the drop that you made, but I think I know what it's about. She does say, none of you know anything about me, which is possibly the most correct statement ever said on not only The Bachelor or Bachelorette, but all reality dating TV ever.
That's the crisis they go through. They're saying, wait a minute, I was so excited about this last week, and now all of a sudden I'm realizing that this has been fake so far. So
the thing that bugged me, you know, we've caught ourselves on this before. It's important for people like us who watch the show to not try to put ourselves in the show because it's completely different. And it's like jury duty. You can imagine what you're like, but they're going to choose who they choose and they probably won't choose us. In fact, I know they won't choose me. But so I'm trying not to like put myself in to the show into Hannah's shoes because I'm not there and I don't know everything that's happened around it. But at the same time, I really would imagine that if there were a bunch of women fighting in the great halls of these mansions, I probably wouldn't care. Maybe guys like women fighting over them more than women like guys fighting over them.
I think this was more about peace than it was about
You don't think passion. There was anything to do with you're not paying enough attention to me?
It does, but I think she also wants there to be a lot more quiet so that she can concentrate.
Because she needs quiet to concentrate?
Yes, because sometimes, you know, people are fighting over you and that's helping you decide things. But I think in this case, it just sounds like a lot of noise to her. You can be flattered when people are fighting over you. And I think that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
But she's not at all because she's seeing it as confusing. And I think when Chris Harrison came and quieted her down, he was trying to unconfuse her. Mm-hmm. But he said something that at home we're not seeing. If you remember, he said they hate Luke because they're jealous of him.
Wasn't it more like they're fighting with Luke because they like you?
He started off saying that, but then he finished off by saying that they're jealous of Luke.
Right. So the more a man likes a woman, the more they're going to pick on each. That's just the whole thing. Everything is wrong with all this.
I don't think he was wrong.
What he's saying is that when men get upset, or no, sorry, when men like a woman, they're going to act more and more like a jerk.
When they're insecure, they're going to lash out at the person they feel insecure about. That's human nature. Mm-hmm. I think that's just a basic human observation, not necessarily men, women. I think both do that, but there's certain things men do specifically, certain things heterosexual women do, heterosexual men do.
Mm-hmm. I would probably just go on a walk or whatever, go watch a football game or something. I don't know. Where are they at now? Latvia? We're still in Scotland.
They're in
Scotland.
So they watch
rugby or something. Yeah, cricket.
Right. I've never seen a bachelorette really do that. Anything that she's doing. I've never seen them say, let's get both you guys in a room and let's figure this out. Because that goes against good television. Because if you know, it's like Three's Company effect. Mm. You have to make sure to keep everyone separate. So that no one knows what's really going on and you can keep the humor or the drama going. But the fact that she keeps doing that, she keeps putting everyone in the same place and saying, like, let's explain yourselves. I think that's good.
So you like what she's doing in this episode?
I think it might be a new way of operating or it might be super refreshing. I can't tell yet. I don't have 2020 on it. But in general, I think it's interesting. I think it's a good move.
See, I had a much different reaction. I, as you know, have been very fond of Hannah for the last 5 episodes previous to this, right? We've said that multiple times. She's fun and interesting and has a little bit of a different take on things. But we come into this and I really feel like all of this is on her, whether it's any number of emotional insecurities or, like you said, she needs quiet or just how she's used to handling things, whatever it is. It's all of this is really orbiting around her, not really orbiting around Luke. And the benefit of the doubt, Craig, would say, okay, Craig, maybe she's looking at all these guys like you look at all these guys, Craig. Maybe Hannah is looking and seeing that Luke is the only guy she likes out of all these guys. And so she's stuck. Like, what's she going to do? She has to stick with Luke because he's the only guy that does anything for her. The not benefit of the doubt, Craig, says, what is wrong with Hannah that she can't just make some decisions? And of course, this is all going to come down to her basically breaking up with Luke, basically sending him home, telling him to respect her decision, and him, of course, not respecting her decision and deciding to stick around. So I'm starting to turn on Hannah, I guess. I guess I'm siding more towards not benefit of the doubt, Craig. You know, I mentioned in the first episode that, unfortunately, my brain started to see her head as a pumpkin. And it kind of went away for a while. But now the pumpkinness is starting to come back. I think the more I start to with her, the more her face looks like a pumpkin to me.
Oh, okay.
It's the pumpkin index.
I see.
She's at about a 7 pumpkin right now. It doesn't help when she wears a red dress, too, because that's sort of pumpkin-colored.
Okay.
Right.
Shoot. Well, I do not want to speculate, like a lot of people do, on what they showed us in the preview. That Luke sex shames her, and then she sends him off.
Well, see, I do want to speculate. Well, the editors have given us no reason to trust them over the years. I mean, we certainly shouldn't look at that preview and trust that that's what really happens, except that that's the preview they gave us. And it's so far the most interesting point of this whole season is that, spoiler alert, Luke is going to say, and I quote, "I want your marriage bed to be kept pure." I think we're supposed to assume that he makes it to the fantasy suites, or at least makes it to the week up to the fantasy suites and says, "I don't want you having sex with no one else." And she probably says, "Who are you to tell me who I can have sex with?" And it's this whole born again virgin thing, which we could do a whole episode on. That'd be a lot of fun. I'd love to do a teardown on born again virgins. I forgot to tell you, I am now a virgin. Did I mention that?
No, we can't speculate. Back to what we're actually saying, we can't speculate because why would they show us that so far in advance? They're not even close to hometown.
Because it's the only interesting thing. Because they just gave us a clip show. They,
who knows? Let's just talk about the things that are here. Because
okay. Well, the thing that is here is your drop. Now, I haven't heard the drop, but I know it's in it. This is the moment, though. You know how I think the libertarians on Facebook are like this. I'm not criticizing libertarianism. I'm not trying to wade into those waters right now, but it's I think it's a libertarian meme thing to point out hypocrisies, right? Like Hillary said this, but then did that. Those seem to come from the libertarians I'm friends with on Facebook. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I can see that. They're all about gotcha things.
Yeah. You live in a big house, but you're telling everyone that we should, or it's more environmentally friendly to live in a city or something like that. Hypocrisy. The only reason I bring this up, for better or for worse, I try not to hang on those. Like, I understand the world is extremely complicated and you have to pick your battles. So sometimes things aren't going to line up. I just try to give people the benefit out, I think, when it comes to saying something, especially on camera, that might go against what they've done or said already on television. Does any of that make sense, EDR? This is the long road to setting up this drop.
I think we're going to have an actual dialectical conversation on why I don't think that's necessarily hypocritical.
Yeah. So to set up the drop, this is, I think, where I'm headed, and I'm looking forward to hear what you say. This really bugged me is her one statement to me is in complete opposition to her other statements in a very hypocritical way that really bugs me in a way that I usually don't get bugged about people being hypocritical. Okay. Do you want me to say it to set it up, or you just want to play the drop?
I'll just play it.
Okay.
I love the Mr. Right pageant. Yeah. It was like bringing the guys into my world, but then with some fabulous drag queens.
Hi. Hello.
That I got to hang out with all day. So really fun.
I believe that sex was made for a man and a woman in marriage, but I'm having physical relationships.
So like I have had sex.
Bum, bum, bum.
And honestly, Jesus still loves me.
Yeah, maybe I'm the only one that sees it this way. One can't go to West Hollywood to a drag show, and not just any drag show, not a drag show bingo, which they have, where drag queen runs bingo. Have you been to that?
Hamburger Mary's thing?
Yeah.
Is that where it is?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly where it is. This particular drag queen show thing, the stage thing at the beginning of the season, was sexy. It was sexy. It was drag queens running a show that was sexy. Now, a big part of the LGBTQ movement has been around sex, because sex is an important part of the identity of LGBTQ people. And they've been able to frame an area of their own of sexy shows. She even says, "Bring him into my world." So she's associating herself with that identity. Oh, and then offhand, just a few weeks later, they're in Scotland. No big deal, she says. What does she say? She says, not just, "Oh, I think sex should be reserved for a man and woman in marriage." No, no, no. No, 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 EZR. There's some virtue signaling going on here. She uses the word created and believe. I believe that sex was created. See, I sound like Alex Jones. For a man and woman in marriage. That's a pretty unwavering opinion just a few weeks after taking advantage of this sexy show run by drag queens in West Hollywood. What it means is she was appropriating the drag queen show completely. Just to say something like that, it means that you're being very inconsistent and hypocritical. I'm done. Let me have it.
I guess what you're saying makes sense on a very A plus B logical sense. It does. I'm not saying that to say that you're saying something simple. I'm saying that it does make sense. But the cognitive dissonance people have with anything that conflicts with their belief, especially now, is huge, right? A lot of racist people now like rap music and like food from all over the world, you know, or travel. You can keep things in little cubbies in your head in different places and not care. Mm-hmm. And that's right. What keeps you able to criticize or to not criticize anything, yet right. Believe what you believe and not have your beliefs come up against each other.
In her case, to live in the worlds she lives in, she's going back and forth between LA and Alabama, right? So make a good point that her brain has to set up barriers between the two. You can't just waltz into LA and say something that might make sense in Alabama and vice versa. I guess I can't feel protective because I'm nor gay, nor live in West Hollywood, nor a drag queen. But I do feel a bit protective because it's like you came onto our turf and did this whole splashy thing and made a big deal out of it. And you were a party to these guys getting practically naked on stage and jiggling their shit around. And and then by the way, you're just going to throw out something like you believe. Come on. I mean, you know, I don't use the word believe. I don't believe anything because it means that you're not going to change based on evidence. But I realize that's not an argument I'm going to ever win. People use believe all the time. And then she can't even it just drives me nuts. You can't just on top of all that, not only that, but she uses that sentence and then says, but she says, I believe the. That's even worse. Oh, I believe that the earth is flat, but what are you going to say after right. But? Well, in her case, right. Her but is, she's been having sex this whole time. Great. So now what am I supposed to think about your belief system there, Hannah?
So you give yourself all these excuses for that not to be as sacred as you say, but it is still very sacred.
It's sacred.
Unless you violate. Well, The Bachelor makes every contestant, every lead, toe this line. They have to be appealing to what a pundit would say is the everyday American woman. So they have to be appealing to the coastal cities as much as the rural areas. Mm-hmm. And if they pick someone like that and they put her in LA, then she has to do both things. She has to be okay with that. And she also has to keep. And so she's overcompensating maybe by saying, or maybe she's not, but you know, if she comes back to Alabama in 15 years to live, let's say, she might not, she might never come back. And then they say, there goes that girl that never said Jesus the whole time.
Right.
So she has a line to walk, but she doesn't have to bring in extreme religious things. Let me tell you something really quick here, Craig. Our last lead, Colton, recently tweeted, because it's Pride Month and everyone's jumped the Pride bandwagon, love is love is love, or something like that. Now, almost everyone who replied to him, because he now lives in West Hollywood, he's deeply religious. Mm-hmm. He even has a crucifix tattoo. Mm-hmm. A lot of people replied to him, I can't believe you would say that because you should be more religious and you should know that that's a sin. So he's trying to toe that line even after the fact. He no longer has to do it. He doesn't say anything. But not saying anything, the fact that he lives in West Hollywood, they have to toe that line. Colton does. What about Colton's statement?
Both of us are attacking the symptom, not the illness. We know why she did it. We know why she did that. She's a product of her environment. She's on a TV show that, like you said, has to appeal to this broad audience. So, of course, this is going to come up with somebody with her background or whatever. All of that doesn't get us any further along towards any kind of understanding. We could tread water on this, you know, all day and not.
And that's kind of what when you said those two things are incongruent, I said, not really. And also maybe really, but I realize what they have to do, and I'm not sure if I don't know if she comfortably went into a drag queen situation.
Sure. Yeah, we don't know exactly what she felt. I guess when we get to that point in the season when that whole thing goes down, most of the responses are going to focus on the slut shaming that we think Luke is going to place on her. But I think, and you've pointed this out in past episodes here, where there's the opinion of Bachelor Nation and then there seems to be our opinion. I think I'm going to have a much differing opinion, which is, yes, slut shaming is bad. It's now become easy to attack shaming on the internet. The I believe ... aspect is going to be glossed over because the internet is not ready for that kind of conversation. And it's not a safe zone.
Yeah. When you have go-to easy kind of catch-all words like blah, 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 shames, then right. It makes easier for people to process. But because we don't have that for the way people are treating religion or beliefs,
right. Then
we kind of get stuck in this. We're over-explaining and we're explaining and we're trying to understand. And everyone's kind of going, no. I mean, I think that's what people like Bika have been doing. They were talking about that. She's just going to the easy part of analyzing and not really putting any thought in anything at all.
Well, I'm predicting that the same response is going to happen from Bachelor Nation.
Yeah, she's a leader of Bachelor. I feel like that's why she's an easy leader of Bachelor. Not just
she's the leader
as anyone else.
Like the president is the leader of their party. Yeah, it's like.
Well, let's analyze it when we get to. Anyway.
Yeah, so when we make our meme and post it to Instagram. Well, actually, it'd be more like, since you run the Instagram. When I try to convince you to post a meme that I created on Instagram, mm-hmm. I hope our listeners will see it. That's Craig's meme. And he's going to go after the word believe and his whole thing on that. Maybe I can impact a few people on Instagram. We'll see.
Okay.
Probably not.
Okay, so Jock Mob, real quick. She comes down, she gets mad at them. So Tyler is a football player, right? He originally was one of the first people to attack Cam.
I don't know, maybe.
Dylan is kind of the bro sidekick. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Grant got cut. Who's that?
Tyler's
a football player. Uh-huh. Dylan's a sidekick. Okay. Mike was in the army. Garrett, the golfer, is the leader of their little bullying Luke jock mob.
Okay.
I'm kind of interested in that a golfer is the one who's the most bro of them all.
You have said, and you have memed, and you have gone on record countless times, and we've gotten a lot of pushback for this, that, okay, yes, Luke P has his faults. If we are willing to apply a diagnosis onto him that maybe, I don't know, whether it's mental illness or just being ill-prepared or being fundamentally incapable of emoting, which I think you would call sociopath. Yes. Any and all of that can be applied to Luke. And if we're willing to apply to that, then he is at fault. That actually kind of makes the actions of the other guys even worse, because it's one thing to have a fight with somebody who's your peer, like in a boxing ring. It's another thing to gang up on somebody who might have those problems. It'd be like picking on somebody not your own size.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what, like we said last week, we said kind of that last week too, that Luke, that he probably can't turn around without getting criticized. And the fact that they're attacking someone that's not well, I think we've said this in a few different ways.
Well, you've said it for sure. Is, yeah.
Right. And that if they really wanted him to stop being a villain and stop being important, they would stop talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't true of all villains either, by the way. I'm not trying to say something that's generally true, but they're really giving it to this poor guy. And it makes me the one piece of humanity I see in him, in Luke, that is makes me think that he's not all bad, not that he's perfect, is that he comes home and confides in them each and every time. Mm-hmm. They push him down and they bully him and they take everything he says and twists it. Sometimes it's more twistable than other times.
Right.
But he's still, for some reason, there's something that they're doing that's making him trust them, or maybe that's just how isolated and alone he is.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that Garrett, Mike, all of them just keep on him, And like we said last time, and we've put it actually out there with dates on Twitter, on Instagram, that the best dudes, Dustin, Peter, are kind of the good guys, and they've never given in. They've never just attacked him blindly for no reason. They're proving themselves to be that, and everyone else keeps kind of, you know, joining the Garrett, Mike, Tyler bandwagon. So that's all we really have to say. That's all I have to say about the jock mob. I think they're really rude, and I'm sure it's worse than it looks too.
It would be kind of unprecedented for the show, but also kind of sad if really she's looking around and seeing no potential with any of these guys, except for Luke, who she has a physical attraction to. I mean, I know I look at these guys and don't have an attraction to any of them. That's got to be a lonely place for her, too. Maybe that's why her and Luke are so into each other. It's because they're two lonely souls in this show trying to find their way with each other.
And to Luke's credit, he's not using it. He's not saying everyone's pulling up, ganging up on me. Everyone's doing this. He's never said that to her. She's just watching it happen.
Right.
And he's trying to fix it from the inside. So last time I told you, or maybe it was before last time, that he really does remind me of an ex-boyfriend. Two episodes ago, that actually used a really good speech the way he used one on her and yelled and all that.
To you or to a bunch of people?
To me. Remember when she said, I can't give you this rose.
Right. When they were off in private.
When they're off in private. Then he comes back and actually wins her back. That was a little microcosm of my relationship. over like 2 months.
The whole talking yourself back into a relationship thing is kind of an interesting concept. I think I've tried to talk myself back into relationships. And I think I've had people try to talk themselves back into relationships with me, I think. I could be totally misremembering all this.
You told us that you don't ever do it.
Well, I think I did. I've said before that I got my big person breaking up with me out of the way early, right after college. I mean, I wasn't dating this person through college. It was just after college. We gave not very long, but then it was like I got dumped on hard. That's when I reset, said, okay, you know, it either works or it doesn't. All these kinds of things I've talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. So that was a long time ago now. So I feel like during that period of time, I'm not going to press it if it's not there. This Luke thing, this talking his way back in with Hannah has had me thinking. I've been perplexed by it because what happens on sitcom TV is not reality. Right. Friends really was a messed up show for us to watch growing up, if you think about it, mm-hmm. because the way Ross and Rachel's relationship was very unhealthy. Yes. Although that's not even the right word. That's just not reality. Because if someone slams the door on you in real life, they're not going to come back to the door, open it up and hope that you're there. In reality, they slam the door on you. They want you to go away. So if you stick around thinking the door is going to open back up for you, you're just going to be disappointed.
Sometimes that's the problem, is that when she said, I want you to respect that, after she disowned that statement or ignored that she said that, that became the new, I never want to see you again, because it loses meaning complete. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it goes back to what you said. It's almost like we can't really, and this isn't necessarily an indictment specifically on Hannah. Maybe it's a generational thing, millennials. Maybe it's just being on reality TV. Maybe it's just everyone. But we can't trust anything she says anymore. If she can say, I believe that marriage was created for a man and woman marriage. But if she can say that, then we can't really trust anything she says. If she says to Luke, I want you to respect my decision and go, I don't believe that.
She didn't mean it, right. And I still trust her. She's young. I don't care. I still trust her.
What to trust and what not to trust? Okay, if she uses the word believe, then we don't trust her. But if she uses the word respect, then we do trust
her. I trust that she is making a lot of mistakes and that she will correct as she goes along. Because the second he walked in, she was excited. She said something like, what are you doing here? But it wasn't like I told you to go. So there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of subtle messages we're missing with the dark. It was a very dark scene, so it was hard to see.
Yeah, it wasn't very well lit.
No, it was really rough to see.
Well, there's a lot of other things that come into play here, too, that spice up this plot, which is which is Luke going all deranged, I want to marry, you know, I want to propose to you today kind of crap.
This is my ex. They only want what they can't have. That's it. Right. He's only saying that to get her back in that moment. He messed up a lot of things earlier. And that's their favorite thing to do. And I say they, I mean the Lukes of the world, I guess. And I don't mean with the way he looks.
Well,
I mean the kind of person that he is. And Kevin, who was kind of a dolt, kind of a meathead type. I'm not sure if he is in real life, but that's the way he was portrayed on the show. Kevin, big beefy guy, you probably don't even know who I'm talking about, said that Luke likes to win no matter the cost. That's, I think that was his direct quote. So that's him trying to win. I can see that.
Well, it's not cool. I mean, a real cool guy, the girl would go to him. I mean, it's just, right? It's like...
Those are very private things that men like that tend to reserve to make the woman feel special in that moment. But then they're not right. They're these little bursts of absolute sincerity so that keeps that person going on for that much longer. Like that'll last until that dinner and then maybe he'll try again.
Well, so everything you're saying now is that Luke is this manipulative psychopath, sociopath. But before it's that we're ganging up on Luke.
Yeah, he needs help.
I don't think being a manipulative jerk is necessarily a mental illness.
It's like we were saying earlier, it's a symptom of mental illness.
If he's ill, he needs help. If he's not ill, he's just a jerk. But that in itself is a fine line.
Someone like Scott that was cut night one, right? That had a girlfriend and all this stuff.
Yeah.
He's probably a jerk, a manipulative jerk. I don't think he needs help. Where Luke is in a completely different camp. He needs to analyze his relationships with men and women. And does he have a bad problem with his mom?
Let's say you are a licensed psychologist and you have Scott and Luke come in your office back to back. And on the line, you know, the state's going to pay for their disability mental health for the next year. So some huge amount of money is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to see in one or the other that's going to make one mentally ill in need of help and the other just a jerk? Why are
they're
you
not gonna
so
sanction
convinced
my
about
diagnosis?
Luke
has huge red flags of being emotionally abandoned at critical times in his life. If the big difference is what's gonna make them money, I guess. What's gonna make them like Scott just wanted to look good. Luke doesn't seem to care about looking good. And that's what's making him, I think, a little bit more on the ill side as opposed to the, I don't know, jerk side.
That's your official licensed opinion?
Years of
college education as a psychologist?
but I do think that there's a difference between two guys. I mean, I'll tell you, I told you this last time. I am deeply resentful about my ex that's like Luke. And I was really upset and mad at him for a very long time to the point where I was ready to go to the courthouse and get a restraining order. I was that mad. I was not that I was
sorry,
trying to
I don't
like
mean to laugh.
No, it's okay. I don't mind it. I don't care anymore. But he scared me and I was upset and I was mad and I didn't know how to protect myself any way except that way. And he was showing up places I didn't want him to be, where I wish he hadn't been.
But was he physically threatening you or you just didn't want to be around him?
He didn't say he had physically assaulted me before. Yeah. Yes. Okay. And there was precedent. So I was like, I don't want to deal with him. I don't want him to be anywhere where I am. Knowing all that and me seeing that guy in Luke, and I still feel for Luke and I still feel for my ex because I think they must have some deep, deep, deep thing in there. And I'm not excusing Luke. In fact, I'm harder on Luke because of my ex. I think if I had never met my ex, I might be a little bit nicer to him. Like, look, he's just sick. Leave him alone. But I'm hard on him because of that. So I do think he needs help. I think my ex does too. But, you know, this guy is way more likely to get help than my ex. So I think it's
okay. So
let me point out.
Not to belabor the point here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think about point scores for people and all these kinds of things. So this is definitely interesting to me. And your rundown of said X was very interesting a couple weeks ago. I've never used the word X in any spoken conversation in my life. I don't know what passed over me, but I don't refer to people I used to be with as X's. I don't know.
It's just very strange. I actually wouldn't, except I don't want to say his name.
I think that's why people do it, but I guess I'll take the long road. Rather than say EX, X, I'll say a person I dated or that person I'm talking about. I don't know.
Well, again, I'm saying it because I don't want to use his name and I don't want to be long-winded about it. I want to just say X, 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 X.
If you and I were just hanging out, would you say his name? X? You would.
No, okay. I would say his name.
All right. I just thought I'd get that out of the way. I don't know why that's important to anyone listening.
I agree. I think it sounds sitcom-y, actually. I think it sounds like something people say on TV and not really in real life.
Well, it gets even worse when you have Becca referring to Ari as her ex.
Right, right. Well, they were actually together for a while, like almost living together.
For a weekend.
It's a little bit different. But I get what you're saying in terms of it sounding possessive and sounding like like shortcut to something. I get that.
I've also broken up with somebody and they get so pissed at me, I guess, or at the situation that it's like everything about me is absolutely the worst scum of the earth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I get it. Emotions are high. But I very rarely look back at somebody I've dated. Not just maybe slept with. You don't really know the person, but like dated. I try to think of the fond things. It's like, I don't think they're bad people. I struggle to envision getting so heated at somebody that it all becomes red.
The person who feels like they sacrificed the most in a relationship, or the person that felt that they were the best person in the relationship, tends to carry that anger with them for a lot longer.
Yeah.
So maybe you were not as good to them as they were to you in their eyes.
Yeah. But as Hannah would say, but again, not to gaslight you here, but there must have been good times with said ex. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been with him in the first place.
Oh, you're asking me?
I mean, it must have been fun for a while.
It's more complicated than what I'm letting on. I left someone for him, and he was in a band with that person.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying it's a complicated story because I was not.
Well, they were in a band.
It was exciting to do that, but it was definitely the wrong thing to do. I left the lead singer for the drummer.
Whoa.
But it was an escape from the lead singer. I did, in my own way, try to get out of that relationship through another relationship, which is my own. I have to face that. I had to face that on my own. The things I saw in him are the things I put on him. I wanted these things and they weren't there, but I decided to project what I wanted.
Well, it could have been worse. You could have decided to get over the singer by going on a internationally televised dating show.
Yeah. How many people have to watch their ex on The Bachelor or Bachelorette making out and then going on Bachelor in Paradise?
Okay. That in mind, and I'm holding us to this, two sentences.
Gotcha.
Jed apparently had a girlfriend that he wrote a love letter to right before coming on the show.
My only comment on this whole Jed thing is, again, how me and you have been the lone crusaders for the jock mob being wrong all along.
That's true. We did not
like Tyler. We did not care for Jed. We did not care for the other Tyler the way everyone likes him now. We do not like Mike. And we think I don't like Dylan. I don't like Garrett. I 100% don't like Garrett. But everyone loves them. And here we are. They're all falling and.
So you're saying that The Bachelor Masters, specifically EZR, is vindicated because of this Jed thing?
I think we're on the road to vindication.
Okay. The road towards vindication. There you go. That's a good title for posting the podcast.
About Jed.
All right.
Bachelor in Paradise. Bachelor in Paradise, Kaylin will be there. Everyone can check out who's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise online. It's not a secret, but Kaylin will be there, whatever that is.
Whatever that is. It's a big chin. That's what that is.
Okay. She wanted to hook up with Dean. I wonder if she has. And also, why is she still... Anyway, I don't know. We knew Cam was going to be there.
All but Cam.
Well, I'm interested in the fact that they offered Kaylin anything because...
Why wouldn't they?
She should be pissed she didn't get the Bachelorette. This is her redemption.
This is her vindication. No,
this is her vindication.
Of course she's going to go on it. Because people know that Bachelor in Paradise now can change anything. Right. Leaders can become losers. Losers can become...
Right. Are they trying to offer her the Bachelorette later?
Yeah, maybe.
Is Mike going to go on it to be the Bachelor? Because you have to go on it to stay relevant.
It's like a good Bachelor pregame. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Get everything worked out. So disinterested in Kaylin.
As a direct enemy of Hannah, I'm interested. If she had no enemy, and if it wasn't the Bachelorette, then I wouldn't really... I'd be like, oh, here's her among other people I don't like.
Right.
On the last two seasons, last four seasons. Okay.
Bottom line, we've been saying all along, we were right. Everyone was wrong. We're not just saying that. We have been on the right side of history here.
Right. We have time stamped. We have time stamped ideas that have been vindicated. Again. Yeah. Okay.
I did tweet. When she was confronting all the men and telling them to get their act together and whatever, and she doesn't know anyone and they don't know her. I just tweeted, cut them all.
Yeah.
Just start the show over. That'd be kind of cool. Bring in a whole new flock of guys. In fact, better yet, take the show on the road and just show up to where there already are a bunch of guys. I don't know, a military base. There's your show. What? See, I'm thinking outside the box here. I'm the next Mike Fleiss. I can come up with these ideas just like he can.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if none of these guys are going to win, or they're going to end up breaking up after a month anyway, why are we putting ourselves through this?
Yeah, well, I think it all ends up well. I half read that somewhere, that whoever she ends up with, it ends up well. But guess who? Ooh, Craig. Guess who is going to be on Bachelor in Paradise? Emotional Intelligence is X. Nope, too late.
Oh, Derek, yes. I know this because the podcast, The Bachelor, the co-host is Derek.
Oh.
He's been missing for the last 3 weeks on an undisclosed errand.
Oh, my God. You know? What else could it be?
So they did a podcast yesterday where they came out and said, oh, yeah, this is where Derek's been the whole time.
Well, that's obvious then. I guess it's always been out.
Our co-host, Chris, here, our third Bachelor Master. That's where he's been, Easier. Did you know that?
Yay, Chris.
He's been filming Love Island or what's that show you guys watch?
Love There's going to be a Love Island CBS, by the way. I just saw
that's what Chris has been doing. There you go.
Okay. The recap, no one liked, but I don't care because it was a reset of the rose ceremony. And it's kind of like, you know, when you skim 4 minutes off of something for a whole year.
Yeah.
And then you have to make up for that time. That's the way it felt. And I think, moreover, thinking more about TV history.
Yeah.
I think it's important for them to do this because this story has gotten so convoluted that they have to also reset our minds. So if someone started watching now, you know, second month with your girlfriend.
Well, I think they're betting on the water cooler talk. Interest is building because people are like, oh, did you see what Luke P did? Despite that being a good idea, I find it hard to believe that there's people joining the show audience right now.
It's a good way to share it and to say, oh, you haven't seen any of it so far.
If you're going to try to defend this clip show, I don't think convince me.
I'm not necessarily defending it. I just think that it's gotten convoluted enough. Like I said, reset. It's just pressing reset. And I didn't need it. You didn't need it. Anyone who podcasts or who does anything with right. Bachelor, anyone who's watching every day, week definitely did not need it. But this might be crunch time for a lot of people trying to finish their thesis and they're trying to watch The Bachelor and they need a thing like this.
Yes, you're right. Because I think there is a big audience, a big part of the audience is people writing their PhD dissertation. And
I was writing my master's thesis while watching Caitlin's season. And I was like, what is happening? I need to know. And I would watch it, you know, 3 weeks late. I needed that. I needed something like this.
What was I watching when I was writing my master's thesis? It was a long time ago. We only had three networks back then.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, Craig, what about...
Well, since we're here, mm-hmm. let's you mentioned television history. Let's give this a little bit of our time. The clip show is a thing that used to be a thing more than it is a thing now. Because now we live in...
binge time.
Binge TV, the golden age, shorter runs. There used to be, they used to give a show 24 episodes and they'd have to deliver those. Now they just add an episode or remove an episode. It's no big deal. And network executives back then were a lot more anal retentive. The show has to be on every Tuesday night from this month to this month and sweeps week and all that crap. Now mm-hmm. you just put the show up whenever the hell you want, right? So
yes.
Things have changed. But back then, there were only a few networks. So the one that comes to mind is Star Trek, The Next Generation. This show was important for a number of reasons, not just because of its positive sci-fi future, which is actually pretty rare. It was really the first major syndicated television show, like a show made specifically to sell to TV stations all across the country, as opposed to being broadcast over a network. And then after a few seasons, then they sell the show for daytime TV and stuff. Is this a history that you're aware of, EZR?
More or less.
It was really kind of unprecedented, and it worked. The problem was that the second season was a complete disaster because the writers' strike, the writers' union here, striked. So there was no writers. They had to go. They found scripts from 2 decades earlier. They mm-hmm. repurposed and so when you have a set number of shows you have to fill, there's a set budget for that. And some shows are more expensive. Some episodes are more expensive than others. And so the clip show, they have a famously bad clip show at the end of the second season, happened because they just didn't have the money to do anything else. Mm. Friends had a clip show. Most sitcoms had a clip show. It usually had to do around budgets. So they had to make 24 episodes or 22 episodes. And they spent all their money when they get down to like the second to last episode. So they just do a clip show, which costs nothing. And then they have money for the finale. So that's just what came to mind. It's just like 1990.
Okay. You might be right about the part that they needed to fill an hour because they didn't have enough footage.
I don't know. We don't know. Seems really weird. They just wanted to dress her up in her sparkly dress.
Someone commented that this is after the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
So
they had it all planned out. Her head looks like a pumpkin more than it usually does when she's sitting down. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. Well,
Watched it. Yeah, I watched it because what else am I going to watch?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like we're all dying to, where the world is ending and we have to watch this. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. Who cares?
I mean, we had to get to the previews. You never know when those are going to start. They did do bloopers, which weren't funny.
Yeah, pause it and fast forward.
I'm already DVRing Below Deck anyway, so it's not like I can't. Whatever.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying everyone's like hatred.
The royal you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of an insult to the viewers of the show. Were this stupid that we need a recap?
It was a little bit like running audio commentary on some of these things. None of it was that interesting. There wasn't anything insightful said.
I realize I didn't write down who tweeted this, but somebody tweeted, it's their attempt to get us to like the guys again, which is something you've said before. The producers will try to convince you to like people again if you don't like them because we got to move on with the show. So in some ways, that's kind of what this is about. It's like, let's recap all the good memories we have of all these dudes.
Right, which is what you're trying to do to me and my ex.
Right. No, I'm not trying to get you to remember. I just think that there has to be some good memories. Otherwise,
why? I'm just messing. The last thing we can say is just, if anyone wants to see a fight, we recently had a... We were just trying to call out someone's simplistic and ultimately racist thinking. And it's amazing to me that apparently no one had Google to look up what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said very clear, very basic terminology to knowledge shame someone. And everyone's like, huh? As if I'm from the future. And, we called out this misogynistic, racist podcast made for pick me's. I don't like, okay. Whatever.
Yes. Okay, let's finish with the fashion roundup. How about that?
Oh, okay.
This is the fashion roundup.
Craig likes to talk about the people they're wearing.
All right. Did I miss this whole thing with the zit? When did that happen?
Yeah.
Is this the first we're seeing the zit?
Yes, it's the first we're seeing it. But we kind of mentioned that when she was on that Thailand date with
her makeup with Poulton.
Yeah, that she has not a big deal, but she has bad acne.
Yeah, I don't think red's a good color on her. Mm. It really goes back to the pumpkin thing. Am I way off with the pumpkin? Do you see any pumpkin?
Yeah. She looks like a Simpsons version of a pumpkin. But I don't hate, but it's not a bad, I don't know. Like I said, I think her face works really well in 3D.
Yeah.
And I think we just have a bad, and she's a pageant person, and that has a totally different look.
You're right. Mm-hmm. She was wearing those big earrings that had white hearts on them when she was having this whole thing with Luke. I thought that was kind of interesting. What is a giant heart earring signaling?
See, this is so funny because I've heard before, and I think I've heard it somewhere. I've heard it more. I heard it a lot when I was younger, and then I heard it in like a sitcom too. But that if women have heart jewelry, it tends to be because a man gave it to them.
Mm.
But that's not true anymore. I love heart things, and they're a little bit tacky. Heart things. Yeah, I do. I like hearts, and I think I would like rainbows, except I don't. It's that kind of stuff. I just like that kind of kitschy, like Lisa Frank stuff from when I was younger. So this looked like I'm saying, more of a Lisa Frank thing than a jewelry thing. It looked too cutesy poo. It wasn't romantic heart gift. So I think it's just cute.
A party where you're supposed to wear green if you're single and looking for love, and if you wear red if you're not.
I've never heard that.
It's just to make it easy on everyone.
I guess that is easy.
So you don't get hit on if you're not looking to be hit on, and you get hit on if you're looking to get hit on. It's if you wear giant heart earrings, it's saying, well who does it?
Subliminal?
Well, I don't know. It's just a weird signal. It's like, I believe in hearts. Or... I heart.
She's pretty good about fashion. She's wearing crazy earringy things. She's wearing in that scene where she's crying and she looks like kind of like a 90s girl with the bangs in the front. She's wearing heart earrings too, and then like a weird tank top with like a top bun. I think that looks cool. She's just trying to look cool. I don't think there's any symbology going on here.
I got my big date with Luke. I'm gonna wear my white heart earrings. A decision has to be made at some point. It's like, what earrings should I wear? I'm going to wear these. I mean, they could be like a skull and crossbones or something, right?
She wore that like crazy, like studded jacket that one time we didn't talk about in Boston. And I'm like, if she was wearing that 20 years ago, she would, there's totally different connotations to that.
Right.
So I think it's just a fashion choice.
All right. Well, we've made it this far that on our unofficial sponsor, Hulu Playback, we are, in fact, at the previews for the rest of the season that they gave to us, and which includes not only her I Believe bit that I've gone on and on about, but also her little dance. I'm going to get down in the fantasy suite. It went something like that, right?
No, but go ahead.
But you know what I'm talking about.
No, I didn't hear that. I try not to watch the previews. I tell you this every time.
Oh, you didn't watch them? How'd you know what Luke P said?
Because you asked me to cut that out.
Oh, she sings. She does this little song and dance about how she's, I think she says, get down. She's like, I'm going to get down in the fantasy suites.
Dang, she wants to have sex with Peter.
It's just more ammunition towards
and, you know who she really wants to have sex with other than Luke is probably Tyler.
Okay, well, since EZR doesn't like previews, which is news to me, I guess we have nothing else to talk about. I guess that's it then.
All right, Craig.
We're going to Latvia.
Yeah,
Latvia, the Baltic states. That's an interesting part of the world.
Well, they had to show us a map. That means that many people don't know them very well. They didn't show us where, you know, Scotland. They didn't show us that, even though that's not as cut and dry as you'd think. Ireland is an island, and that's harder to place, but they didn't show us a map of that. And Latvia, that was confusing that they would do that for certain countries and not for others.
Latvia. I think it's cloudy and dreary 365 days out of the year.
I like it.
Have you been?
Yes. Yes.
You have?
Yes. Well, my mom's from Europe, so, you know, it's easy when you're over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do a Latvia deep dive.
Latvia,
yay. Okay. All right,
they didn't do that.
See you next week.
Bye.